The next coach on the teleconference is Michigan's John Beilein. The Wolverines are 23-8 overall, 13-5 in the Big Ten, and are the number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan plays the winner of Thursday's Northwestern-Minnesota game at 6:30 Eastern on Friday. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Coach, if you'd like to start with some opening comments, then we'll open the call for questions.
Well, we had a great day yesterday. It was exciting for us to go on the road and get an always tough road win and then come back and watch two great teams battle it out and end up, when it was all said and done, with a share of a Big East title. So it's, as everyone knows, it's such a revered honor. And as a result, we're really proud to have won it, proud to have won it with the two teams that we are in, who are just quality programs with quality coaches. And now we move on to the tournament and hope we do the best we can in the tournament.
Thank you, Coach. At this time, we'll open the call up for questions.
If you have a question at this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Kurt Cavan with the Indianapolis Star.
The prestige of being the 1 seed, did you have any preference to 1, 2, or 3 seeds in this tournament, given the balance? Did it make any difference to you?
Not one bit at all. I think in one of my earlier tournaments back as a younger coach, I remember rooting for one team to win that we would play the next day, and they proceeded to win. I got my wish, and they kicked our tails. Skip Prosser's a Loyola team we'd beaten twice. So I promised myself at that time never to care about have want any preference there. Just do the best you can, because be careful what you wish for.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Justin Jackson with Morgantown Dominion.
Hello, Coach Beilein. How are you doing?
Good.
Coach, hey, I know you got the Big Ten tournament on your mind right now. I wanted to change gears real quick, if I could, work on a story about the three-point shot at West Virginia, and obviously that was a big part of your arsenal when you were coaching there. I was just kind of wondering, when the shot first came out 25 years ago, they talked about how it was a great equalizer in the game. 25 years later, do coaches still see it that way?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a game changer in so many different ways. As much as we use it when it's appropriate, we hate it when it's being used against us. And as a result, the game could change so quickly. Good. Actually, we had back-to-back four-pointers yesterday. We were up by 6 and hanging on. And our Trey Burke hits one and looks like, all right, we're up by 10. Well, we're in great shape. They made a four-pointer, and we're back to 6. So this is an incredible equalizer, and it's why no lead is safe at any time. It's just not safe until you got to be up double digits with a minute to go, probably, to feel safe in any game today.
And the other thing I was wondering, you could go out to just about any high school around the country and find a kid who can stroke it. But to recruit a three-point shooter to the major Division I level, I mean, don't you need more than just some kid who can shoot it? I mean, he's got to be able to get a shot off. He's got to be able to defend at the next level. What all goes into it when, you know, if you're looking to recruit a shooter?
You're right on with that. So you mm-hmm. want to be able to have a kid that has either incredible range, like let's say a Matt Roth at Indiana, who has incredible range but not like huge lift on his shot, that he can shoot from the parking lot. If they don't lift, they got to be able to shoot from 30. Jordan Hall does the same thing. And it's not bad. Some kids are just as good from 28 as they are from 21. So that's one thing you'd look for. If they got to toe the line and they don't have lift, they're not going to be able to. They'll be easily defended.
Right.
So then you got guys like, let's talk about our two guys, the two of our guys, Hardaway and Douglas, have quick lift and a form that's right straight up in the air, so they can get it off sometimes while being guarded. What they got to be careful of is they got to. Just because they get it off doesn't mean it's a good shot.
And then last but not least, who's the best three-point shooter you've ever coached or seen?
Oh, that would make a lot. It would definitely be one of my players. That's for sure. But you'd have to expand all the way back there when my Lemoyne team, mine have shot 48%. It was well into the 40s, maybe 48% those first years. But it was also because people didn't know how to defend it at that time. They were not trailing screens. They were going through screens. People faded on screens. People didn't know how to guard it. But I would not want to alienate most of my players for years and years. I will say one, the best shooting big man in college basketball ever, Kevin Pitsnagel, ever. I've never seen a 48% guy, 253s, 6'10". There was never a kid taller than 6'9 that could shoot like Kevin Pitsnagel.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Lana Lee Barfnick with Omaha World Herald.
Hey, John, pardon me if this is a dumb rookie question, but after 15 years in the Big 12, at their tournament, the day before the tournament starts, they have an hour shoot-around for every team. They have press conferences. They open it up to the fans and the parents, kind of a celebration day. They don't do that in the Big 10. Has that been a point of contention among the coaches, or do you prefer one over the other?
No, not really. The Big East is similar. We don't have didn't have a shoot-around in the Big East. No, because it is. I've been part of those things where you have a bye and you're waiting around for 2 days to play. Wasn't comfortable with that. It's a little different. Indiana does a tremendous job with this. I have not been to Chicago. Does a tremendous job without doing that. So it's part. I think we miss a lot of classes. To miss another day of classes before the tournament is something that's been discussed by our ADs and our faculty, and it works out. I think you'll enjoy the atmosphere there without the rah-rah in those first 2 days and the day before.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Coach, could you just talk a little bit about your team's mentality heading into tournament week?
Well, I think that looking at our last two games here where we were on the road a great deal, we're going to have a mentality of just, you know, sticking to things, being persistent, having a right mental state because of everything that was at stake during that time when you're trying to be a champion. So going into the next phase of trying to be a champion is going down and winning this tournament. So what we need to do right now is rest for a day or two, just physically, and then go into our regular two-day prep before two great opponents, either Minnesota or Northwestern, that have shown this year that they can play or beat anybody in the league. And we're going to have to be ready for that one and take it one game at a time.
Thanks, Coach. We have time for one final question.
Your final question comes from the line of Mike Lucas with UW Badgers.
John, could you just speak to what it takes to achieve a level of consistency at this competitive level year after year after year? I think at Wisconsin, Bo Ryan's teams have never finished lower than fourth in the Big Ten in 11 consecutive years.
Yeah. That's what I've been talking about. It's perfect. For a question for me, because I've been talking about since the day I got here, is that that's what Michigan needed to do, is be consistent and be in there. If you look at Wisconsin, you look at Michigan State, Ohio, you look at those teams, you look at the banners, they might have an NIT banner every now and then, you know, because something happened, just bad year, injuries, something happened, but Syracuse is like that, Connecticut is like that. That's where we want to get to, because when you're doing that, some days you're going to have great, great years. The ball doesn't bounce your way, and you're done for the year. But there's some day years you're going to have, you know, years that are consistent but not as good as the years before. And as long as you're in that hunt, at the end, anything can break your way and you win a national championship, Big Ten title. So I think that's what Wisconsin has shown. And, frankly, they've been a model for us as far as you know, that level of consistency by having really strong foundation that has been established at Wisconsin, so that they know they're going to be in the hunt most of the time. Just hope that ball, they work hard and that ball bounces their way.
Thanks, John.
Coach, that's all the time we have this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.